chapter 2, verse 41. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to preach tonight on a properly functioning church. Father, I thank you for the love of God. I thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful songs, testimonies, exhortations. Thank you, Jesus, because you love us and you minister to your body. And I pray that tonight in this service, you would help me to be able to speak words of life and encouragement and strength to your people. And we'll give you glory and honor, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I preached to you this morning on normal Christian converts from this passage of Scripture, the four traits of those normal Christian converts. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. They continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. They continued steadfastly in prayers. That is your normal Christian convert. Now, what we see in the remainder of this chapter is a properly functioning church. This is the church as it started out, as it was born in the fire of Pentecost. And this is how the church manifested itself immediately after Pentecost. This is a picture of the church operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. We see the demonstration here of a properly functioning church. And I'm going to take these five things I want to bring out of this passage of Scripture about a properly functioning church. The first thing is this: the works of God were manifested in this church. It is said in my text concerning this church that many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The works of God were evident in this early church. And throughout the book of Acts, somebody said, you know, this is said the book to be the book of the Acts of the Apostles. If you look at the beginning of your book of Acts, it says the Acts of the Apostles. Somebody said that wasn't named exactly right. This is supposed to be the Acts of the Spirit of God through the apostles. In the book of Acts, we see the work of God's Spirit and wonders being performed by the power of the Holy Ghost in that early church. In fact, what you see in the book of Acts is the works of Jesus being continued through his church. Same works that Jesus did, and Jesus had told his disciples, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." Well, now we see that. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached this great sermon, 3,000 souls got saved. Perhaps more souls than got saved in the 3.5 years of the ministry of Christ when he was here on the earth. And in one day, 3,000 souls were saved through the power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. So this church is operating in the power of the Holy Ghost, and the works of God are being manifested. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us, gives us this question. Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This isn't talking to the lost world. It's not talking to heathens. It's talking to Christians. The Hebrew Christians. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. God bore them witness with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And you know, I still believe that God confirms his word. That where God's word is preached, where people obey the word of God, that God confirms his word with signs and miracles. I do not believe that the days of miracles are over. I do not believe that God has gone out of the miracle working business. Sometimes we wonder, you know, we pray and we don't see the results that we thought we should see. And we wonder, does God still operate like that? But God still operates like that. Every once in a while, we'll see and hear of God doing some miraculous work, healing somebody, and some miracle happening. Brother Roger told me this morning about a miracle that happened over in Africa. A crippled man, they laid their hands on him and prayed for him, and God miraculously healed him. God still heals. God still does wonders and miracles. And I don't want us to ever lose sight of that. You know, sometimes the church gets in such a state that we begin to wonder and think, well, maybe the days of miracles are over and maybe God's not doing miracles anymore. And the devil wants you to think that. But God wants us to believe that God still does wonders among his people. He's still a miracle-working God. That's a miracle sitting in this service right here. Saw a man back there just raise his hand who is a miracle. God raised him up. Hallelujah. Brother Tom. And others here that God has done wonders for. And we are glad and grateful. We've got challenges before us right now in this church. People that are desperately needing help from God. And I want us to believe with all of our heart that God is still a miracle-working God. Praise the Lord. And I told you this morning that it's not just prayer that makes the difference. It's the prayer of faith. But if you believe that miracles are all over with, you won't pray with faith unless you believe that God is still in the miracle-working business. And God wants us to believe that and trust Him. Hallelujah. You know, it ain't just among holiness and Pentecostal people that God does miracles. He does miracles among anybody that will obey Him and believe the Word of God. I heard the testimony of a man. He was a Southern Baptist preacher. He was working in a Muslim country, and he wasn't having much success. It's a very difficult field. And so he began to fast and pray. And the little group he had, his family, different ones, he got them to fasting and praying that God would move and break down the barriers and give them souls among the Muslim people. And God began to give them favor among the Muslims. And so the Muslims began asking him to come to their mosque and pray for them in the name of Jesus. So he would go. And he would pray for them. He'd go up front and he would pray for those Muslims in the name of Jesus. One day they called him to come and pray. We want you to come and pray for us in the name of Jesus. And so he went. And when he was getting ready to pray, there was a man in the congregation. He got up and walked to the front. And in his arms he held a crippled child. He said to the minister, he said, my child has never been able to walk. And he said, I just wonder if your Jesus is able to make my little girl well and cause her to walk again. And the Baptist preacher said, yes, my Jesus can do it. He said, would you pray for my little girl in the name of Jesus that God would heal her and she would be able to walk? He said, I certainly will. He said, under my breath, I said, God, If you have ever heard me, hear me now. And he laid his hands on that little girl and he prayed for her in the name of Jesus. And when he got through praying, he looked up and the little girl, there's no noticeable change. And the father, he looked up, he saw his little girl was just the same. He looked disappointed. He thanked the preacher. He went back and sat down. But he'd no longer taken his seat. That little girl jumped out of his arms, went running down through that congregation. And all of those Muslims saw the miracle working power of the name of Jesus. Muslims came to Jesus that day. The Muslim preacher came to Jesus that day. I'm telling you, brother. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus still is a miracle-working God. And God wants us to believe. He wants us to believe. Sometimes we have to be like Abraham, who believed when it seemed like there was no reason to believe that the promise of God could be fulfilled. He was too old. His wife was too old. 25 years had gone by since God gave him the promise that he'd give him a son. And it looked like against all obvious reasons, it could not happen. But he did not stumble at the promise of God. And God fulfilled the promise to him. God is a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. And we see that in the early church. The works of God were manifested in this early church. Not only that, but we see, secondly, the unity of the saints of God. Look in verse 44. All that believed were together. That doesn't mean that they lived together. It means that their minds and hearts were together. It says about them in verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. They were in one accord in that upper room when God filled them with the Holy Ghost. God had added 3,000 souls to them in one day, and they're still in one accord. This early church marched in the power of the Holy Ghost, unified in the Spirit. There was unity among the saints. My brother, the Bible tells us that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It is the Spirit that produces unity, but you and I have to labor hard to keep it. You must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there's power in unity, brother. The devil knows this is a favorite trick of the devil, is to divide and conquer. And many churches, he's got his foot in the door and divided and conquered in the house of God. But if God will help us, that our minds will be together in the Word of God, our minds informed by the Word, and our lives directed by the Holy Ghost, we can't help but be in one mind, in one accord. When our mind is informed by the Word of God and our hearts are directed by the Spirit of God, there will be unity among the people of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, he says, how precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a precious thing. It's a wonderful thing for brethren to dwell together in unity. The early church was unified. There was unity among the saints. Thirdly, a properly functioning church has deeds of love. Notice in verse 44, all that believed were together. They had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, we're not talking about a communistic society here. We're not talking about a forced divesture of possessions. We're talking about people motivated by the love of God who, seeing a brother or sister in need, would sell excess goods and give to that person and provide for the needs of that person in the body of Christ. It was a church that was motivated by the love of God. They weren't people that just talked about love. They were people that demonstrated love. You know, the Bible says we're not to love in tongue and in word, but in deed and in truth. Love does not exist where there are no deeds. But where there is true love, where the love of God abides and where the love of God is working in us, there will be deeds to prove that love. And it's so in this early church that they looked after one another and provided for one another. That was a time that no doubt they were like most people in the United States of America. They guarded jealously everything that they had. But when they came to Jesus, nobody called anything they had their own. And they began to use what they had to bless others and to build the kingdom of God. And that, my brother, is a manifestation of the love of God. A properly functioning church has deeds of love. And then fourthly, a properly functioning church is a church that is characterized by the worship of God. Notice in verse 47, they were praising God. Hallelujah. This characterized that early church. They were a people praising God. A properly functioning church will be a worshiping church, brother. And it's not, you don't have to be a church, it's not a church where you have to prime and pump and mechanically control everything that goes on in the house of God. When people come into the house of God and they've been in the presence of God and they've been fellowshipping with God, it's no problem to worship God. And God says this is the kind of church that He fashioned in the very beginning. It's the kind of church that He wants in the present. It's the kind of church He's going to finish up with, is a church that worships Him and praises God. Hallelujah. Oh my, He's worthy to be praised, brother. The Bible says that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. And everybody in this place ought to be somebody who worships God, not just in the house of God, but all week long. We give God the glory that's due unto His name. We worship God in our hearts. We worship God in our homes. We worship God on our jobs. We worship God in the house of God. This is the primary business of our life. We worship God. We praise and honor the name of the Lord. Oh, it's Jesus in the morning, and Jesus in the noontime, and Jesus in the evening. It's Jesus all day long. Praise God. That, my brother, is what characterizes a properly functioning church. Finally, fifth thing is that a properly functioning church is a church that is increasing the kingdom of God. It is said about this church, they were praising God, verse 47, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise God. They were daily working for God. God was daily working for them. Praise the Lord. It wasn't just a Sunday morning business with these people. It was a week, every day of the week thing that they were worshiping God, working for God. And God was working for them every day of the week. God was adding to the church daily such as would be saved or should be saved or would be saved. God was adding to the church. This is what happens when the church is properly functioning as God wills. God will add to the church. We will build the kingdom of God. We will see an increase in the kingdom of God whenever we are functioning according to the biblical pattern and plan. It can't help but happen. Praise God. You know, it really disturbs me when we go sometimes, and we do go sometimes, for months without seeing anybody saved. Boy, it gets a hold of me. I wonder, does it bother you when we go for months and nobody gets saved? God, it's not the will of God that we go for months and nobody gets saved. It's the will of God that this church function according to the plan of God, and souls are being saved. That ought to be the burden of our heart, that this church function properly according to the New Testament pattern. Praise God. Oh, we got a wonderful church. I thank God for you. I'm not up here to fuss at you tonight. Just up here to inform you that this is what God wills out of the church of Jesus Christ. This is a properly functioning church. And I thank God for this church here. And I can see a lot of these things in our church. But we can improve. We can improve. This morning, I don't know, maybe in somebody here. When I was greeting somebody at the back, may have been Brother Vernon. He said, you could do better. And he said, that's what Brother John used to tell you. I said, yeah, I know. Yeah, I used to preach. We didn't have nobody much. And Brother Johnny, you know, sometimes we'd meet just a handful of us. And Brother Johnny said, don't give us the whole load tonight. It's just a few of us. And when I'd get through, sometimes he'd meet me at the back and said, that's pretty good, but you can do better than that. Well, I'm telling you, you're doing pretty good, but we can do better than this. I believe we can improve, don't you? I believe the Lord will help us to do better. We want to fit the pattern of this New Testament church, brother. We want to be part of that glorious church that Jesus is coming back for. We want to be part of that sanctified church and that glorious church that Jesus Christ is coming back for. I say, God, help us and that we'll be part of that body of people that are following the pattern of the New Testament church. And God wants us to be a glorious church and a victorious church and a worshiping church and a soul-winning church. That's what God wants to make out of every one of us here tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you what we got to have. We got to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our life. We got to have the power of the Holy Ghost working in us. Just like that early church had the power of the Holy Ghost working in their lives. We got to have the power of the Holy Ghost working in us. Brother, when you value the working of the Holy Ghost in your life, you don't want to do anything to grieve the Holy Ghost. You don't want to do anything that would cause the Holy Ghost to lift the anointing off of your life. And you want to please God. You need that anointing of God upon your life. When you value the anointing of the Holy Ghost in your life, you will strive to please God and live a holy life because you need the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon you. We must value that anointing because without the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we are nothing different from the Lions Club or the Ruritan Club. We can meet together and pat each other on the back and congratulate one another and tell one another what a fine fellow you are and go our way and forget about serving God and serving one another and winning souls and living right. But God wants us to be a glorious church following this New Testament pattern. And I want to see God working among us in a more powerful manner than we've ever seen before. We need the anointing of God upon us and upon our prayers and upon our services. And I ask God, Lord, help us to have this New Testament pattern in our church. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano. I feel my need. I don't want to pretend like I'm something that I'm not. Oh no, I feel my need. Oh my, I feel the need of a greater anointing of the Holy Ghost in my life. Praise the Lord. I pray, Father, I need a fresh anointing. I thank God. That Friday night, we were in service up at Brother Mike Schaefer's, and Brother Tim Hudson had the pastors to come up and all the people from their church to come up around them, all the young people especially, and pray for the pastor. And oh, I thank God for that prayer. I thank God. They laid their hands on me and prayed for me. I needed that. But I told him, I said, I don't just need that tonight. I need that all the time. I need you praying for me. God, help me. The anointing of God appear upon my life. Brother, if God don't help me, I can't help you. I got to have God talking to me, or I can't talk to you from the Word of God. I need your prayers. We need to pray for one another. And this has got to be a priority in us, brother and sister, that the Holy Ghost is operating in our life. That the anointing of God is upon our life. The Holy Ghost is teaching us, guiding us, using us as a witness for Him in a dark world. Hallelujah. Had an opportunity this week, while Sister Judy gets a song, had an opportunity this week to testify to a man. I began to question him about his soul. And he spoke to me the philosophy of this generation. I've got my own way. I believe it my own way. Somebody asked a woman one time what she called her religion. Her name was Sheila. She said, it's called Sheilaism. And that is the mindset of this generation. I have my own way. I said to that man, there's only one way. It ain't your way or my way. It's God's way. The way that God has given us in His Word. I said, you got to get in that Word and find out what is the way. You can't just make up something in your own mind. He didn't like that. But I'm telling you, it's still the truth. I pressed him pretty hard. I thought I was going to make him mad. But that's the kind of generation that we're living in. I got my own way. You're going to go to hell. Follow your own way. There is not but one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I asked him, I said, you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Yes, he said. I said, do you believe everything Jesus said? He didn't want to answer that. But if you don't believe everything he said, you don't believe in him. If you're not willing to follow what he said, you don't believe in him. It's just one way. God wants to use us. This is the kind of generation we are living in. And who's going to be a light to them if we are not? That's why we've got to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon our lives.